Hello and welcome to another episode of Full Court Finance here at Zacks. I'm your host, Ben Rains. And today we're taking a look at two tech stocks to consider buying now at pretty substantial discounts heading into September and maybe hold those for a long time going forward. But before we get into everything, I want to say remember to subscribe and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts and make sure to check out our new Zacks.com/promo page for a look into some of our services, portfolios, and more. So before we jump into the two stocks to consider buying on the discount, I want to take just a quick look at the broader market overview to give a better sense of where we are with these two stocks and some context. So all three major U.S. indexes slipped early Tuesday morning, but the Dow, the S&P 500, and the NASDAQ all remain on track to post monthly gains in August. So the S&P 500 is up about 3% for the month so far, which puts it on pace for its seventh consecutive monthly climb. Meanwhile, the NASDAQ is also up about 3.8% for the month heading into the final day, and the Dow has added about 1.2% so far. The morning pullback came one day after the benchmark hit what was its 53rd record close of the year. So the stocks just continue to climb higher. The recent positivity came after Jerome Powell continued his relatively dovish tone on interest rates last Friday, even though the central bank is planning to slowly scale back its bond purchases at some point later this year. Wall Street also appeared happy at the end of last week that the FDA gave Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine full approval, which they hope and many on Wall Street hope will encourage more people to get vaccinated. Plus, weekly jobless claims hit their lowest levels since March of 2020, despite Delta variant worries. On top of that, the overall earnings picture continues to improve. And that said, the market could experience some near-term selling since the mid-July pullback was wiped out so quickly, and we've just continued to grind higher and higher as we head into September. So the market's not going to ever just continue to go up, and pullbacks and brief sell-offs are healthy parts of all strong markets. That said, the interest rate environment will continue to favor stocks for the foreseeable future, even when the Fed finally starts to raise its rates. This is something I want to just always stress. So for instance, the 10-year U.S. Treasury sits at about 1.3% at the moment, and it's rarely and barely moved above 3% in the past decade. That means investors should continue to favor stocks, especially tech names and growth names who benefit from those low interest rates environments compared to some of their more value-focused counterparts. Let's also remember that technology dominates nearly every aspect of our lives. So taking a look at two technology stocks that are highly ranked Zacks stocks from the broader tech sector, it might be worth buying heading September, especially as they sit well below their records, even as the market sits at new highs, is what we're going to do today. And the first stock up on our list of highly ranked Zacks tech stocks to consider buying is Pinterest. It trades under the ticker PINS. The social media adjacent, social media-ish stock has been hit hard after a massive COVID boosted run, and it now might be time to finally scoop up the stock on the dip. So we're going to dive into what Pinterest does and then take a look at some of its recent results and where it's trading and all of that. So Pinterest operates basically a visual discovery platform that enables users to find and search for products, inspiration, services, and more. Users can find inspiration for everything from, say, like a date night outfit to a home-cooked meal to planning trips to learning how to remodel a bathroom or a kitchen or anything like that. Pins is relatively unique, offering in the social media landscape dominated by Facebook and other platforms, and it has helped it become a hit with advertisers, small businesses, entrepreneurs, do-it-yourself enthusiasts. The firm that launched roughly a decade ago has thrived in the e-commerce and digital media age, and its revenue has soared as more dollars go to digital advertising. So for instance, digital advertising could account for about 65% of the roughly $240 billion a year industry in the U.S. by 2023, up from just about a third of ad spending only a few years ago. Investors should also note that paid content and ads fit seamlessly into the Pinterest platform, which is vital because people pay to avoid ads on places like Netflix and largely ignore more traditional banner ads. The company has also found success using artificial intelligence to boost its user and ad revenue numbers, and it's working to improve its video capabilities. So its broad appeal helped it add about 100 million new users in 2020 to close last year with about 460 million monthly average users. Pinterest revenue surged 48% in 2020 to about $1.7 billion, nearly matching the 51% growth it did in its first year as a public company in 2019. The last 2 years of almost identical top-line expansion showcase that it's far from just a one-hit COVID wonder. The company has also crushed our bottom-line estimates in the trailing four quarters, including a 93% beat in the second quarter at the end of July, when it pulled in 25 cents a share versus our estimate of 13 cents per share, and its revenue skyrocketed 125%. Despite that strong showing, Pin's shares actually tumbled nearly 20% following its release on the back of a decline in monthly active users. So its domestic MAUs, so that's that monthly active users, fell 5% year over year from 96 million to 91 million. And on a sequential basis, the decline was even worse, down 7% from 98 million in the first quarter. But Wall Street appears to have overreacted somewhat, since not all users are created equal. Some people might have just gone on Pinterest every once in a while and not really been those core users. So if we dive a little deeper, the numbers are far less shocking and a little less worrisome that they lost monthly active users. So its MAUs on its mobile app, which are more valuable, increased year over year in the US, and we're up by more than 20% internationally. So the number of domestic MAUs under 25 also rose by double-digit percentages, which is another positive sign as advertisers are trying to reach those young people wherever they are, as they're harder and harder to find in this age where everyone's pulling back from these traditional media platforms. So the average revenue per user in the US also more than doubled from $2.50 to $5.08. And internationally, that metric increased from 14 cents to 36 cents. And the growth was driven by new products like its story pins and the introduction of automatic bidding for advertisers. So that's the growth that people should be focusing on more than just the pullback in overall monthly active users. So compared to larger social media peers, the company has also lots of room to continue to grow that average revenue per user. And many of these people are coming, as we've mentioned before, coming to the site with the hope of trying to find something to purchase or from anything from, as I said, clothes or bathroom remodeling equipment to maybe a trip. So it really does fit seamlessly with ads because people are looking for product or purchase inspiration. And its long-term outlook remains strong with its big earnings revisions helping it grab a Zacks rate number two buy at the moment. So we can see that since its last report, its Q3 estimate has gone from 14 cents per share all the way up to 24 cents per share. And its full year fiscal 2021 estimate went from 80 cents per share up to $1.09 per share, with 2022 up from $1.13 per share all the way up to $1.45 per share. So about 36% growth from when it was before the report for the current fiscal year, 2021, and then about 28% positive growth on that bottom line estimate for 2022. And then if we look, our Zacks estimates are calling for 56% revenue growth this year from about $1.7 billion all the way up to about $2.7 billion. And then we're calling for another 34% growth next year all the way up to about $3.5 billion. So they're doing about another billion in sales this year and then nearly another billion in sales the next year. So even as that top line growth percentage shrinks, they're still doing more and more growth, about a billion more this year and next year. And then on the bottom line, we're calling for 160% bottom line growth from 42 cents per share all the way up to, as we mentioned, $1.09 per share, and then another 33% growth on the bottom line on top of this impressive stretch of 2 years of really strong growth. We should also note that Wall Street has cooled a little bit in terms of a couple months ago, they were very favorable on the stock in terms of brokerage recommendations that Zacks has, with about 12 of the roughly 20 brokerage recommendations we had coming in at strong buys with six holds. Now that's numbers at six strong buys in nine holds in just one buy. But we have no sells at the moment in terms of all of our brokerage recommendations. So even the most non-bullish brokerage recommendations we have are just at hold. So no one is calling out of the brokerage recommendations that we have to sell the stock in any way. That said, the stock was down about 1.5% the last time I checked Tuesday morning. at around $56 a share, and it's now down about 35% from its mid-February records. Yet it's still up about 45% in the last year. Pins is also sitting below both its 50-day and 200-day moving averages and is near oversold RSI levels of 30 at around 36. So clearly there could be a lot of room for this stock to return to those highs in the next several months or year or so, especially as the broader tech sector is trading at new highs seemingly every other day. At least the fact that Pins is sitting about 35% below those February records is a positive sign if you're looking to buy something at a discount, especially considering its long-term growth trajectory. And obviously the recent pullback has made its valuation picture look even stronger. It's trading well below its year-long median at about 11.2 times forward 12-month sales compared to its median of about 16.5 over this stretch. The company also boasts a strong balance sheet with over $2 billion in cash and equivalents in zero long-term debt. So as you mentioned, some investors really might want to consider Pinterest as a longer-term play for its ability to thrive in the digital ad age through its growing user base, even though it has a slight pullback recently. But people who actively are using the app, they're able to monetize even better. And as just we mentioned continually, the people continue to disconnect and unsubscribe from legacy media as linear TV and magazines continue to fade and more people are going to be turning to Pinterest going forward. Up next is a similar stock in this digital advertising world we're living in that's also been hit somewhat unnecessarily hard recently that investors might want to consider buying in the dip, and that is Roku, which trades under the ticker that is also its name, which is R-O-K-U. And as we did with Pinterest, we're going to dive into the broader story and then take a look at some of its recent results and what to expect going forward. So the streaming entertainment age is here to stay, and the legacy media, as we mentioned, continues to lose consumers in droves. Netflix now boasts over 100 million paid subscribers. After a decade of dominance, the streaming pioneer is a part of a quickly expanding group of streaming players. This includes Disney and its massive catalog of successful platforms that range from Marvel to Pixar, Amazon, Apple, and nearly every other media company in the world is entering the streaming market as more consumers are cutting the cord in favor of those non-ad-supported services like Disney Plus and Netflix. So advertisers, as we mentioned with Pinterest, are continuing to try to reach people wherever they can because people are going to continue to spend those ad dollars. That is not going away anytime soon. And this is where Roku is poised to keep cashing in, and it really hardly matters what service grabs the most attention or who has the hottest show, because Roku's small plug-in devices allow users to watch streaming TV content from nearly every service under the sun. And its tech is also built into smart TVs. It was the number one smart TV OS sold in the US in 2020 with nearly 40% market share. But more importantly, Wall Street became a Wall Street darling on the back of its ability to attract advertisers in the digital age. So Roku makes money by selling ad space across its marketplace and taking a share of streaming service subscription revenue and ad inventory. Roku also allows marketers to buy targeted ads, promote their streaming content and platforms, and more. And as we mentioned with Pinterest, digital could account for about 65% of the roughly $240 billion a year ad industry in the U.S. by 2023. The company also has boosted its ad credentials through acquisitions, which includes buying Nielsen's advanced video advertising business. And Roku has also benefited because it's exposed to the content side through its own channel that allows users to watch free ad-supported streaming movies and TV shows. And they've continued to boost those offerings. That said, the company topped our Q2 estimates in early August. So total revenue was up 81% year over year to $645 million. Platform revenue, which is that key advertising-based revenue, was up about $117 million to account for a large majority of the overall revenue. Gross profit was up 130%. Active accounts reached 55.1 million, an increase of about 1.5 million from the year ago period. Streaming hours were 17.4 billion, which was actually a decrease of 1 billion hours from Q1. And so the active accounts, as I mentioned, I think I might have said that wrong. So active accounts were 55.1 million, which was an increase of 1.5 million from the first quarter of 2021. But that said, streaming hours dipped 1 billion from the first quarter. And this was a little bit of the worries that we'll get to later. Average revenue per user grew to $36.48, up 46% year over year. So as you mentioned, the stock sold off briefly, or not briefly, it sold off after that because people were disappointed by the slowing streaming hours. And that was just as more people are taking a step back over the summer as things start to reopen. But there's now no real worry that all of a sudden people are just going to stop watching TV. TV was very popular before COVID. It was obviously more popular when people had nothing else to do, but there's no need to worry that they said, quote, increased out-of-home entertainment activities such as dining and travel in Q2 as a result of pent-up demand in the loosening of COVID-19 restrictions hurt those streaming hours. But as I mentioned, there's no real fear that people are just going to stop watching TV now that they can do more things. So with this in mind, the company's earnings continue to be strong. So the company has posted three straight quarters of positive adjusted earnings. The two previous quarters before Q2, we were actually calling for an adjusted loss, and they destroyed those estimates. This past quarter, we were calling for 14 cents per share, and the company posted 52 cents per share. So it was a 270% beat on the bottom line. And since the company has reported its Q2 results at the beginning of August, its earnings consensus estimates have continued to climb. So for the full year, we were calling for 45 cents per share. Now it went to $1.24 per share. And then in the last week, it's already moved up another 6 cents per share. And the positivity has continued on the 2022 side as well. And as well for Q3, we were expecting a loss of 24 cents per share to then positive 4 cents per share to now positive 6 cents per share. So continuing to see some positive bottom line revision momentum. We're calling for overall the earnings to swing from an adjusted loss of 14 cents per share last year to positive $1.30 per share, and then growing all the way up to $1.74 per share next year. And all of this positive bottom line revisions helps Roku grab a Zacks Rank number one strong buy at the moment. And then if we look in terms of revenue, we're calling for 60% top line growth. So from about $1.8 billion all the way up to about $2.9 billion. And then we're going to get all the way up to about $3.9 billion in 2022, which would mark about another 38% top line growth. So these estimates would mark five straight years of between around 40% to nearly 60% sales growth for Roku. And the company, as you mentioned, is also projected to swing from a loss last year to $1.30 per share in earnings this year. So just continued impressive growth for this company. And Roku also has a pretty solid balance sheet and is prepared for further international expansion. And Wall Street remains largely bullish on the stock in terms of brokerage recommendations that we have, with 16 out of the 18 brokerage recommendations that Zacks has sitting at strong buy. So this has come despite the fact that the stock has pulled back since its Q2 report. For the reason we mentioned, there was some worries about clearly slowing growth. Anytime you see maybe a percentage slowdown from what we were calling for 60% to 38% in the coming year might be a cause for concern. And as we mentioned, with the COVID restrictions being lifted in most places, people are watching a little bit less TV. But it's also the summer. It's a seasonal thing. So we expect people to turn back their TVs on when things get a little colder in the near future. So with that in mind, Roku shares are down around 25% from its late July records at around $355 a share. The sell-off right before heading into earnings and right after earnings has pushed it right to oversold RSI levels. It has been about bounced back a little bit since then to hover at around 36%, still well below, or 36 in general RSI, which is well below those neutral levels of 50. And the stock is hoping to slowly return to its 200-day moving average and then get back up to its 50-day. So despite the fact that it's down 25% from its late July records, the stock is still up 104% in the last 12 months. And then if we look over the last 3 years, the stock is up about 500%. So just been on a really impressive run. And as one might assume, and like with Pinterest, the recent pullback has made its valuation picture look far more impressive as well. And just like with Pinterest, Roku seems to be worth considering as a longer-term play because streaming TV is clearly the future. They have the ability to cash in not only on people watching their free ad-supported platform, but just the ability for marketers to come to Roku to promote whatever they're looking for in an age where people are paying to avoid ads wherever they are, and everyone is slowly cutting the cord. And as we continue to mention, long-term interest rates are supporting tech stocks, and both of these stocks are sitting well below their recent highs, even as the NASDAQ is trading at new records heading into September. So that does it for another episode of Full Court Finance. Until next time, I'm your host, Ben Raines. And remember, if you have any questions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com.
This material is being provided for informational purposes only, and nothing herein constitutes investment, legal, accounting, or tax advice, or a recommendation to buy, sell, or hold a security. Do not act or rely upon the information and advice given in this podcast without seeking the services of competent and professional legal, tax, or accounting counsel. Publication and distribution of this podcast is not intended to create, and the information contained herein does not constitute, an attorney-client relationship. No recommendation or advice is being given as to whether any investment or strategy is suitable for a particular investor. It should not be assumed that any investments in securities, companies, sectors, or markets identified and described were or will be profitable. All information is current as of the date herein and is subject to change without notice. Any views or opinions expressed may not reflect those of Zacks Investment Research as a whole.